From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, food and agricultural groups are asking U.S. EPA to stop its dioxin assessment on grounds it's not relevantly targeted. And the Obama administration is laying the groundwork to convince Congress Russia's entrance into the WTO means it should enjoy most favored nation trade status. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and we'll go back over the new long-term cash prices for corn and soybeans that the Farm Doc team first introduced us to 4 years ago. And don't forget, as we close out our program, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat up 17 cents to settle at 641 and three quarters. July, the harvest month, 16 and a half higher at $6.76 and three quarters. July hard red in Kansas City at $7.15, up 18 cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby March at 652, eight and a half higher. The May futures fixed 659 and a half, up eight and three quarters. And July corn, $6.64 and a half, eight and three quarters higher. September at $6.10 and a quarter, up eight. December contract, $5.83 and a half, up eight and a quarter a bushel. And the March futures at $5.95 and a quarter, 8 cents higher. January soybeans for the day, $12.25 and three quarters, up 36 and a quarter. March at $12.33, up 36 and a half. The May beans, $12.42, up 36. And July, $12.50 and a half, up 36 and a half. November soybeans, 30 and a half higher at $12.21. One and three quarters. Bean meal at 320.20, up 10.60. Bean oil at 52.02, up 1.22. Live cattle futures in the February at 119.95, down 37.5 cents. April's at 124.35 for 100 pounds, down 25 cents. January feeders at 147.80, up 50. March at 149.75, down 12.5. And the February lean hogs, 83.37.5, 52.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil, $101.28 a barrel, down 28 cents. Ethanol at $2.25.08. That's 3.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $3 a penny and 3 tenths of a cent, down 4 9 tenths of a cent. And heating oil, diesel fuel, just about a tenth of a cent higher at $3.07 1/10 of a cent. January gold futures at $1,607.50, down $8.60, and the dollar at 81.04. That's up 0.2. CRB index now at 311.52, 2.04 higher on a 10-minute delay. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says that tonight we'll see mostly clear skies with a low of 28 degrees with a west wind at 6 to 13 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 16. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high near 53 with a west wind at 6 to 10, and it'll become southerly. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 34 degrees. A south wind continues at 5 to 8, and on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 51 degrees with a north-northwest wind at 5 to 15, gusting as high as 20. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, blustery, a low of 26. Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 28. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 16 degrees. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 25. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 18 degrees. And Saturday, mostly sunny, the high near 32, right at the freezing mark. Saturday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 21. And Sunday should show us a mostly sunny sky with a high of 33 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get all the details from the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. They're up there on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building looking down on the loop.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time now to check the agricultural futures markets and the happenings for the day. Along with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of green on our screens today, and we moved higher. I suppose much of that coming on the forecast, not for the United States, but for South America.
South American forecast continues to dominate headline news. From the standpoint, Argentina is looking at one of the worst droughts they've had in over 70 years, and not a whole lot of relief. There's a chance of anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches here over the next few days, locally heavier amounts. But we've got to remember that it's such a large growing region that not all of the area is going to get some beneficial rains. After today, the moisture moves on out. There's a spot, another chance of rain maybe for southern Brazil here as we go into the weekend, but overall there's not a whole lot in the forecast till we get into the end of the month. And corn and beans are starting, well, corn's getting through the most critical growing stage in the south. Beans are right in it there. They're directly 6 months opposite of us, so it's very important for them to have a good crop. But the trade's anticipating lower production out of the southern hemisphere, anticipating a little tighter supply-demand balance sheet. Now, whether or not it shows up here Thursday morning or not, we'll have to see. But over time in here, if the weather stays dry, definitely the balance sheet's going to get a little tighter, Todd.
Which numbers do you think will be most important on Thursday, given the conditions in South America and how quickly that might change what our estimates would be for the export market?
Well, that's a good question, and basically we got a lot of moving targets. The long term, the southern hemisphere, and we're not going to have a handle on that for another 2 or 3 months where we are there, so we'll continue to monitor that, especially on the supply side of the equation. But as we move into Thursday, we're going to have the wheat acreage. We'll get a little bit better number on wheat acres. Corn and bean-wise, we're going to fine-tune old crop a little bit more here. There's ideas that yield can come down just a little on corn. Maybe harvested acres can come down a little bit on corn. So I think the trade's looking at a little tighter U.S. corn number. Then we're looking at the bean side of the ledger, maybe just a little higher here, a little slower export pace in the beans may warrant it, a little slower export number, and maybe do a little higher carryout estimate there. So we'll digest those, but the old fundamental traders probably will look at the stocks report a lot closer than anything from the standpoint they'll give us a benchmark to go by and seeing how strong demand has been here since last fall.
What do you think of that number, and what will it look like for corn and for beans?
Well, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think that we're going to see a stocks estimate come in where we're going to be a little lower from last year. We believe that this corn stocks number could be right around this 9.4. Last year, we were right around 10 billion bushel. Beans are going to be a little higher due to a little slower demand pace. They're going to probably come in around this 2.3 area versus about a little higher versus last year, around 2.33 versus 2.27, 2.28 last year. So probably the stocks estimate on corn, mainly to see how the demand pace is going there. We've got the ethanol side. We've got feed use side, particularly there, see if there was some substitute feed use on the wheat side, and also the export sector also.
And speaking of export, what did our numbers look like from this morning?
The inspections came in kind of a mixed bag. Wheat, 10.7 million bushels. Corn was strong at 33.8. Beans, 31.9. So we picked up the export pace here on the shipment side of the equation. Also Thursday, we'll see the weekly export sales numbers to see if we're continuing to stimulate some demand here.
As you look out over the next month to month and a half, is there anything fundamentally that might change the marketplace direction again? Other than what we're going to find out Thursday. How about that?
Let's see. We got weather in South America.
Right.
We got the USDA numbers. We got Europe. Well, they're okay for now, but that's bound to turn the other way. We got Iran on the back burner here. So there's just a ton of headline news items out there that can push this market quite a bit in either direction here. But right now the momentum indicators have turned up. The key on the near term, though, in the grain market is take out last week's highs. We've got close to those levels here in the corn, but what we're seeing fundamentally there is some fund allocation realignments there, where as well advertised, the funds need to sell about 26,000 contracts of corn. So when we got up near today's high, I think that fund selling kicked in due to realignment of their portfolio. So fundamentally, we'll see how that unfolds here. But if we can take out those highs we made last Monday, that's going to give the green light to move a little higher here. But whether it does that before the crop report Thursday, we'll have to see.
Now, what do you think of the action in the dollar for the day?
Well,
meaning it was down just a bit, and it's below. It tested the 81.5 area, but then dropped back.
Yeah. Overall, the trend remains higher. Most look for the dollar continue to strengthen here. We're in the makings of a hook reversal down, made a new high and closed lower here. So it does set the stage for the dollar to retrace, come back down to the support level at 80 even. Fundamentally, we'll have to watch the world events here to see if there's anything fundamentally happens to give the dollar some direction here as we move into mid-month.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, a coalition of 16 agriculture and food industry groups wants EPA to stop an ongoing non-cancer assessment of dioxin because they say the assessment is flawed and could harm U.S. ag's competitiveness in world markets. During an assessment that has been going on since the 1980s, EPA has concluded that 95% of all human exposure to dioxin comes through food. Agriculture and food industry groups, however, say the assessment is unnecessary because efforts in the past 15 years have reduced man-made dioxin emissions by about 90%. Those groups say EPA is not taking those gains into account and instead is trying to hold the industry accountable for what are primarily naturally occurring dioxin emissions. EPA's assessment, slated for publication at the end of January, would set a daily maximum dose of dioxin exposure about three times more stringent than what is recommended by the World Health Organization. The Obama administration plans to work with Congress this year to establish permanent normal trade relations with Russia once that country formally joins the World Trade Organization in mid-2012. The problem for the U.S. is that Russia does not enjoy PNTR, also known as Most Favored Nation status. Granting such status to Russia would mean that the U.S. would not treat that country differently than it does other WTO members when it comes to trade. Oil companies led by the American Petroleum Institute are planning to increase their efforts to convince Congress to make changes in the composition of the renewable fuel standard. The industry is focused on the mandate for cellulosic ethanol as its primary target. This year's Republican presidential candidates are using domestic food aid as an example of a welfare state gone bad. Republican presidential candidates Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich say the government should stop and convert food stamp spending to block grants to states, a move that could freeze spending and cut the benefit to many who now receive it. The National Weather Service says 2011 was Texas's driest year on record, as well as its second hottest. The agency said the average rainfall for the drought-stricken state last year was 14.88 inches. Last year, Texas suffered its largest agricultural losses and the hottest summer in U.S. history. From June through August, Texas averaged 86.8 degrees, beating out Oklahoma's 85.2 degrees in 1934. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report Commodity Week. And this week and next, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Tomorrow we'll be in Mount Vernon, on Wednesday in Springfield, and then right back here in Champaign at the I Hotel on Thursday. It's the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. You can learn all the details at cropsciconferences.com. $75 to come and see what the faculty and staff members in the U of I's Department of Crop Sciences has been up to over the last year, and all the information and advice they have for the coming growing season. $75 to walk in. Registration not necessary anymore, but get all the information and details at cropsciconferences.com. Now up next, as we were moving into this new higher-priced era for commodities about 4 years ago, the U of I Farm Doc team, Daryl Good and Scott Irwin in this case, decided to take a look at cash prices and make an estimate of what those new cash price levels would be on average over time. We'll have a brand new report for them on where it is and how close they were.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It was 4 years ago when University of Illinois ag economists Scott Irwin and Daryl Good decided to estimate what the new average Central Illinois cash price for corn and soybeans might be. It had been nearly 30 years since the last real adjustment had been made. That happened, like the current change, with the increase in energy prices in the early 1970s. Well, here's Daryl Good explaining how the two made the estimate.
We took a look at what happened to the price level of corn, soybeans, and wheat in the early 1970s compared to the previous two decades, and measured the magnitude of the average price increase from those two time periods. And under the premise that we moved into a new era of prices beginning late 2006, early 2007, we used that magnitude of price increase in a previous period and say, what if we do that again now? And that would suggest that in this new era, however long it lasts, that you would expect corn prices to be somewhere around $4.60 on average, soybeans about $10.60, wheat about $5.80. That's an Illinois price. But also recognize that if we had the same kind of variability as we had in the previous 30 years, you would see prices in a very wide range around those averages.
A wide range indeed. It's called volatility, and the swings have been broad and often over the last 5 years. But has the average been $4.60 for corn and $10.60 for soybeans? Close, says Daryl Good.
And so if we look at the past 5 years and say, okay, we've got 5 years of experience in this new era, how have we done? And clearly we've been in a very wide range, that goes without saying. But the average corn price in Illinois has been about $4.30, just slightly lower than our projected average. Soybean price is about $10.50, very close to the average, and the average wheat price about $5.50. And again, pretty close to that long-term average that we projected years ago.
That's nice. But does it really do anything more than suggest the Illinois ag economist managed to be on target? The answer, definitely. Yes, it does.
What we use that for, primarily saying, okay, when you're several deviations away from the projected average, that's a pretty strong marketing signal. So when corn, soybean, wheat prices get into that upper part of the trading range that you might expect during this new era, then that's a pretty strong signal that we want to be more aggressive marketing. If and when prices drop below that long-term average, you say this is when we want to be a little more conservative, particularly in terms of forward pricing.
The trading ranges, by the way, on a monthly average, which generally will not catch the extremes, are $3 to $6.75 for cash corn. The soybean range is much wider, from $7.50 to $17.50 cash. And the wheat range is very large, too, from $3.50 to $10.50 a bushel in the new era. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time on this Monday afternoon to check the cash grain market. Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How'd you like that 1750 figure on the top side for soybeans?
Yeah, that's a pretty big figure.
That's a figure that I would never have figured that Darrell would throw out, but they've got a wide range for it, and beans can move fast and furiously, I suppose, at 60 cents a pop, can't
they?
Yeah,
they can, and in this age of volatility, I guess anything's possible at this stage of the game.
You bet. All right. So that's 60 cents is wider than that. So let's talk about the cash grain market. Basis has done what in the last week?
In the last week, I'd say it's flat to a little weaker. Processor, obviously, with the higher board, has continued to get good coverage. And obviously, typical January movement has been very heavy the first, 9-10 days here of the month. So basis is flat to weaker for corn and beans as well. I suspect that we probably won't see much basis appreciation until you get into the middle or latter part of February if the board continues to maintain elevated prices.
Now, last week you had to compete a bit with ADM, who popped their basis 6 cents for a bit, although I think that's widened out again this week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think they're posted somewhere around 9 over the March. We're posted at option. So about a dime spread is about typical for us and the processor here close to the south of us going forward.
All right. Your expectation that the end users will need corn again when?
I think the biggest portion is pretty similar to last year. I think April, May, June, July is going to be kind of that touch-and-go period where we get into a tight situation for corn and bean stocks, maybe more so on corn domestically than beans. Bean demand seems to have been weak since the harvest time frame, and crush margins aren't that good domestically or in China right now. So bean demand overall has been poor, but corn demand seems to be very good for the livestock and ethanol sector, with export obviously being the laggard.
So if we're at 650, 660 in futures, March and July for corn at this point, if we're going to be tight June, July, maybe May, it's either going to be an awfully high price, or we're going to drop back pretty sharply between now and then.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I think we have to see Thursday's report. It's a major report, and I think even more so than the production figures, what we want to look at is the quarterly stocks number. That's the interesting number for me, for a lot of people in the grain business, to see exactly how much feed usage we've actually used for corn.
All right, and your bids for the day?
652 cash corn, fall corn of 2012 is 553, cash soybeans 1210, and fall 2012 beans 1192.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes with a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, will join us here at WILLAG.org.
It's National Apricot Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Connecticut became the fifth state in the Union. The tiny state suffered under the Articles of Confederation. Faced with heavy import duties to New York, Connecticut found it difficult to rebuild its economy after the war. In 1843, William Headley died, an English coal mine manager. He was a pioneer in the building and design of steam locomotives that featured simple friction between wheels and rails instead of geared track. He patented his idea on March 13th of 1813, and later that year, his locomotive, Puffing Billy, began to pull coal on a 5-mile line. The engine remained in service till 1864. In 1858, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton was born, an American botanist. Her efforts were a major factor in the establishment of the New York Botanical Gardens. In 1914, Henry Ford established the unheard-of sum of $5 a day minimum wage in his factories. The wage at the time was just $2.34 for a 9-hour shift. Ford not only doubled the wage, he cut an hour off the workday. And in 1992, Hans Jenny died, a Swiss agricultural chemist. He developed numerical functions to describe soil in terms of five interacting factors: climate, organisms, relief, parent material, and time. His book, Factors of Soil Formation, published in 1941, is a classic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It's Monday, the 9th day of January. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILLAG.org from Illinois Public Media. The closing market report on hand with us, Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, let's get right into the weather forecast, and we'd better start with Argentina.
Yeah, that's certainly the focus of attention here in the grain markets. Well, usually that's the case at this time of year, and certainly this season. Something to discuss here, especially with the heat and the dryness that's occurred here over the past several weeks, not only in Argentina, but down in southern Brazil as well. And the focus now is on this rain event here coming up for Argentina later on tomorrow and on into Wednesday. While this looks to be the best rain event in Argentina in several weeks, it still is not an all-encompassing event, and we don't see this as any kind of event that would significantly improve soil moisture or crop conditions, especially across Argentina. Specifically, our forecast is calling for about 60 to 65% coverage of significant amounts in the range of half to about 2 inches or so, but that still leaves about 30-40% here of the belt missing out on this rain event. And that's important because after that, there's just no sign of any kind of major rain events looking out ahead into next week. And in addition, as I mentioned earlier, we have this significant heat, and we've seen that now build up and evolve over the past several days. In fact, some areas of western Argentina have seen 95 degree Fahrenheit heat now for the fifth and even sixth straight day. That'll be followed by a little bit of a cool down with this rain event in the next couple days, but looks like another round of heat evolving about a week from now, and that looks to persist throughout much of next week. So,
oftentimes when you have the heat, there is relief if you get some nighttime lows that are dropped down substantially. Is that the case or not with this heat?
No, the heat here has featured also above normal nighttime temperatures. Yeah. Now, since that area of Argentina is a bit more of an arid climate, you do have you have seen lows get down into the 60s and also a couple pockets in the upper 50s. But most of the time here, we've seen a lot of upper 60s through mid to upper 70s. That's been a bit more so up in the southern Brazil, but not much in the way of a nighttime relief here with this with these current heat waves.
All right, bring us back here to our part of the world. Tell me about the forecast for the Midwest, and maybe if you could talk a little bit about the Western Corn Belt. They were dry, and I think they're continue to be dry at this point.
Yeah, they had at least a brief period here of some precipitation back in December, but they've gone dry since just before Christmas, and that's been the case here. It looks to continue to be the case over the next several weeks. So it's a pretty dry and uneventful situation here in the central U.S., above a bias of warmer than normal temperatures, and kind of the lack of winter weather here continues over the next couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. You can listen again if you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.